On today's episode, you will learn the solo 401k deadlines and what we need to know about the solo 401k. So we're going to dive into who is eligible, the big deadline that many S-Corp owners miss, and then at the end, I dive into who should not be using a solo 401k and mistakes people make by jumping the gun and opening these accounts. So as always, if this is helpful, brings you value in any way, please do me a favor, share the show. Thank you and enjoy. Welcome to Build Your Wealth Muscle, a podcast dedicated to helping fitness entrepreneurs build wealth by saving taxes and growing their money. Each episode will break down different strategies in the areas of business, tax, and retirement planning specifically for your coaching business. Disclaimer, the topics covered in this podcast are for educational purposes only. This is not advice for your specific situation. Please consult a qualified financial or tax professional before making any changes to your financial or tax situation. Now, here's your host, certified financial planner and tax advisor, Pat Darby. Hey, what's going on? Welcome back to Build Your Wealth Muscle. Today, we're going to make a deeper dive into all things in terms of business retirement planning. So let me take that back. Not all things, really just comparing the solo 401k and the SEP IRA, but I will pepper in at the end some of the individual retirement plans that aren't, you don't need to be a business owner to take advantage of, but they're critical to this conversation. So let's, as I'm recording this, it's the beginning of October. So from a deadline perspective, a lot of people listening, if you're an S corporation, the deadline has already passed for you for 2022. And you're up against it, whether if you're in it for 2023. And you may already know that because this topic is probably, I was going to say trending, but it's not trending in the real sense of that term. But it might be catching your attention in general. So I really want to make this about understanding how this all works so that you can plan to do it for 2023, which obviously we're still in when you have plenty of time. But before we dive into the how much you can do, when you need to contribute by, when's the paperwork due, dotting the I's, crossing the T's. Let's take a step back and go into like, all right, you're a business owner. You want to do a retirement plan, maybe for yourself, maybe a spouse as well. But how to go about thinking about which ones are available. You're going to hear often the solo 401k. And there's a lot of reasons that's one of the better ones. But the main reason, let's go into some of the pros of it. One of the main reasons is that you can put more money in for the same dollars that you're paying yourselves. So from a generalized perspective, as business owners, there's a reason we are often talking about as tax advisors, the S corporation, because LLCs don't save taxes, but having your LLC taxes an S corp, now you're saving taxes. More specifically, you're saving self-employment taxes. So that's going to come really into this equation when you say, all right, should I use a solo 401k or should I use a SEP IRA? Both are very popular. And the reason that often the solo 401k is going to be where you're going to be directed or that would be your main focus is because you can reduce your... You can put more money in at a lesser tax rate for you. That might sound confusing, but as a sole proprietor, or sorry, as an S corporation, our goal is to pay ourselves as little as possible in wages, like W-2 wages if you're using like Gusto or ADP, as you can based on the IRS's rules in terms of reasonable compensation. So with a solo 401k, you're going to be able to put more dollars in if you're less with a smaller salary. And the reason is because of how the contribution requirements work. So for example, if you are using a solo 401k, you can put in as much as 100% of your salary. So if your salary is 50K, you can put in essentially 50K. Unfortunately, if you're using a SEP IRA, you can only put in 25% of your salary. So that same employee or owner/employee of your own company, that 50K salary, they're only going to be able to put in about $12,500. So that's the basics of why most people lean towards the solo 401k. The other reason is that up until this year, solo 401k was the only way to do a post-tax 401k versus the SEP IRAs up until literally the end of 2022. They were only pre-tax. So it is nice now that the SEP IRA is post-tax, because if you're listening to this and maybe you're not maxing out your brackets, maybe you're in the 22 bracket or the 24 bracket, it might make a lot more sense to you, especially when you run the numbers with a tax advisor. When you get a pre-tax deduction, in your head, it's often higher than what it ends up really being. You know, you put $10,000 away, maybe that saves you $2,000, $2,500 in taxes, which is not chump change, but comparatively, that money could go into something post-tax and you paid only $2,500 in that scenario for it to never be taxed again. It becomes more of a decision-making point if you're in the top brackets, and especially if you're in a top bracket, also in top bracket federally, and you're in a top bracket statewide, if you're in California, New York, New Jersey, some of these really high tax states, then the pre-tax situation becomes a little more enticing, because that same $10,000 might save you $4,500 or $5,500, you know, depending on the case. So that's why, in general, most people will lean towards the solo 401k. But now, let's see who can even do it. Let's talk quickly eligibility. So if a solo 401k, as it describes, you have to be solo. You can't have employees. Now, I'll go into some of the details of how that works. But just so you know, this does not, if you're listening to this and you are a two-member company and that other member or shareholder, depending on how your entities are set up, if that other person is a spouse, then you're still good to go. These rules apply when it's like a third party. So you are not eligible if you have a full-time employee and they've been with you a year or longer. Now, the IRS defines a full-time employee as 1,000 hours a year. So the way that would work is, let's say you hire somebody this year, 2023, and they're working for you 40 hours a week in the scenario. So they're definitely full-time. For 2023, you, the owner, are still eligible to open up a solo 401k, because for all of 2023, you have not had a full-time employee that has been with you a year or longer. Now, 2024, you're likely ineligible if that employee stays with you, because I'm recording this on October 1st, 2023. If that employee gets hired on October 1st, obviously today's a Sunday, but if that employee is hired on October 1st and they're still with you in 2024 on October 1st, that would basically invalidate your eligibility for 2024 solo 401k. Now, if that person left and someone replaced them, then your clock starts all over again. And so you're still eligible. See, so people joke around like, fire that person and rehire them on January 1st. Obviously joking, but some people might actually not. Some people might actually want to do that, but it's pretty shitty to do. But anyway, I digress. So again, it's a thousand hours a year. So that roughly comes to 20 hours a week. So just so you're also aware, as we talk about the hourly requirements, the onus is on you to be tracking this, because if you ever got audited, the IRS is going to ask you to prove it, especially if you're trying to have the plan and you think your employee is not over 20 and they can, you know, the burden's on you to prove it's below 20. The second way that you lose your eligibility is if you have part-time employees that are with you more than 2 years. It used to be more than three, but it's now, I don't know this right off the top. I think this 2 year rule doesn't go into effect until 2025, but don't quote me on that, especially because I forget where that start date begins. So either way, talk to either my team or someone who is helping you with your retirement plan to check that number to see if you have a part-time employee that's with you right now and you expect them to be there in 2 or 3 years, then for you need to consider this detail. And now part-time employees are more than 500 hours on a given year. So that's 10 hours a week. So if they're less than that, you're good. But if they're working for you part-time, 10 hours or more, obviously also less than 20 because they're in that little range, they're a part-time employee for you, then you have 2 years. But then after that, again, you get kicked out of eligibility for the solo 401k. All right. So now let's talk about the deadlines for this. Again, for 2022, if you're listening to this and you're an S-Corp, you've already missed your window. If you're a sole proprietorship or a single member LLC and you have not filed your taxes yet for 2022, then you still have some time. Now, obviously, depending on when you listen to this, you may have no time. But here's the deadlines. And again, I really want to emphasize, this should spark your urgency to get 2023 taken care of. 2022 is, for most people listening, it's gone. But let's get 2023 buttoned up so it's smooth sailing. And spoiler alert, some of these things that I'm talking about, when I talk about the deadlines, these are paperwork deadlines oftentimes. Meaning, if you're sitting here listening saying, I want to do this, but my business isn't where I need it to be to get the money in, I need more time. The contribution deadlines are different than the paperwork deadlines. So I want to make that clear as I start saying things about deadlines that you can compartmentalize, that like getting the paperwork squared away is phase one. Putting the money in is phase two, and there's more time for that. So what's the first paperwork deadline? For 2023, year 2023, you have until December 31st. So many tax strategies end on December 31st of each year. So that should always, as we're kicking into Q4, this is the urgency for multiple reasons. Again, not to get off this topic too much, but just in general, now you've had 9 months of recorded financials from revenue and expenses. So you have a pretty good idea of how the business is doing for the year, and you can probably have a decent estimation what it's going to do for the next couple of months. And then also, this is the time when all of these tax strategies need to get put together from a paperwork perspective. And sometimes the money needs to move as well. So for December 31st, you need to have the paperwork done for a solo 401k. It's like called an adoption agreement. There's a lot of firms out there. I'm not going to name any today because I don't know when people are going to listen to this. But you want to go out there and get someone that can build you the adoption agreement. And the one thing I would have you look for when you decide who you're going to work with in that, obviously DM me. I have a few that I love and my clients work with, and I highly recommend. The paperwork part of it is phase one. Again, message me. I lost my train of thought there. What I was going to say is don't cut corners on the solo 401k and get the cheapest one you can. Give yourself time. This is why I'm saying this now. I'm saying it in a confusing way, and I apologize. I wasn't sure how to articulate it. But you want your solo 401k to have all the bells and whistles. What I mean by that is you've probably heard from like the Instagrams and the TikToks, like the mega backdoor Roth, like these huge like Roth IRA type contributions. You want that bells and whistles in there. You've heard about the ability to, or maybe you haven't, but the ability to take a loan from your solo 401k and give that money to your business to use, or give that money to as a down payment on a personal residence or an investment property. You can do all that. But, or your plans, 401ks can do those things, but it needs to be written into the paperwork. So that can be confusing because you'll talk to someone like maybe even your former employer and you ask them about these things, or maybe your spouse's employer and you're like, oh, I just heard 401ks can take loans, and they tell you no. It's not because 401ks can't take loans. It's that in their plan documents, that specific plan does not allow it. And so again, that's totally cool. Like big companies, I know a lot of people hate on the 401k world. I'll say one thing, fees have come down significantly. So that's one thing that I don't like that people still point to, because most plans aren't as fee heavy as they used to be. And also, if you're looking at your company 401k, or you left the company 401k and you had a bad taste in your mouth because you're like, that sucked. I had like three, like not three, it'd be like 10 different mutual fund or ETF choices. I didn't like that. There is also a reason for that that I totally agree with. When you work in financial services and you work with people, and this isn't an insult, but the reality is the vast majority of this country suffers from, I don't say financial literacy, but it's a spectrum of like incredibly sharp with finances and the opposite. And so when you're an employer, there's some liability there. And when you're someone like myself in the financial service industry, and you're trying to bring a plan to a group, you have liability as well, because you, in a way, you need to make sure everybody is going to be quote unquote safe inside of that 401k plan. So it can be a problem, or I should say, yeah, it can be a problem if you give an employee who has no idea what he or she is doing with investing the keys to all the opportunities. So typically what people do to in a way be helpful is to limit your choices to a very vanilla package of things like target date funds, simple passive things. So it can get criticized because if you're out there being like, I know how to trade, I know how to invest, I know how to do this and that, I'm really good at all this, then your 401k at work, you're going to feel like you're completely handcuffed, and you are. But if your best friend has never invested a day in their life and they're entering into the same 401k plan as you, it's a very valuable thing that they don't have, like essentially a loaded gun to shoot themselves with. So I'll just say that as for the industry as a whole, but as a business owner, again, you want those provisions. And I do highly recommend you go with a custodian or an adoption agreement company that, or a third party administrator is what they're called, that will allow you to self-direct. And the reason is because I like mine, I self-direct mine, but I invested in the stock market. But at any given time, I have the flexibility to turn around and buy an investment property with it. I can do whatever I want. If you go to the big guys, you don't get to do whatever you want. You get to do what they tell you you can do. So that's the reason I would always steer people towards self-directing, because you know, a lot of people out there that talk about self-directing, they'll hate on the stock market. And that's totally cool. You can hate the stock market, but you can do both. So it opens up the entire spectrum. So I would look for those provisions. So that's the first one. December 31st is the deadline to get the paperwork in and signed. So now the plan is up and running. Okay, cool. Now let's talk about the next paperwork deadline. Now, this is going to apply to us S Corp owners out there. So you filed the adoption agreement, you created the 401k. Not a penny has been put in. Cool, no problem. The deadline you need to next worry about is January 31st. Because again, the IRS is saying you don't have to put the money in yet. The contribution deadlines, we'll talk about those in a minute, but those haven't hit yet. You're good. But for sole 401k owners, all of these numbers are predicated by what is hitting on your W-2. What's that salary you're paying yourself if like you're using the Gustos or the ADPs? And those W-2s are due January 31st. So you do have to do some planning, because you can't just sit there Googling and say, oh, when's my solo 401k contribution deadline due? You look it up, you see it, and you're like, cool, I don't have to worry about it until then. That's unfortunately not the case for S-Corp owners. In general, as an S-Corp owner, this is why I highly encourage my clients to have tax advisory services, because there's a lot of cool things that you can do. And there's also a lot of annoying red tape. So yes, there's perks. Yes, there's savings. Yes, there's all these nice ways to like save money. But everything that you want to do often has some complication to it because of the rules. So that being said, your next deadline as an S Corp owner is January 31st, because you have to tell the payroll company how much you're putting into your 401k. And they need to mark it on the W-2, and that goes to you, which obviously you give to your accountant, and another copy goes to the IRS. So they're sending that in two directions, just like 1099s, like the same thing. Like they send one to you, they send one to the IRS. That's how it works. So that's the bigger deadline that gets missed often for solo 401ks for S-corps. Okay. So just so you're aware, just because I don't hear a lot of people talking about this. So when you're inside of, if you're a DIYer, they need to put on your W-2 in box 12, how much you're putting into your 401k. So remind, so again, that's due January 31st, 2024 for year 2023. Okay. So now, if you miss that deadline, again, we're still just talking paperwork. If you miss that December 31st paperwork, you can still do up until you're filing all the paperwork. However, it closes off what you can put into the 401k. So let me explain that. The 401k has essentially two components to it. There's really three, but I'm going to make it simple and say two. There is the employee side, and then there's the employer side. The employee side is what we just talked about as December 31st. Now, as of 2019, the employer side got a big boost, and now you can open these plans into the current year. So in 2024, you'll still be able to open a plan for 2023, but you'll have lost out already on the employee contribution side, which is a big component of this. That's why we're urging you not to miss that deadline. So the employer side, the paperwork is due by your tax filing deadline, and that includes extensions. So for S-corps, your tax filing deadline is March. Same thing with partnerships. It's March 15th. And then it can go to September 15th if you file the extension. So same thing with the sole proprietorships and LLCs, one-member LLCs. Your tax filing is April and October. That's when that paperwork is due. Now, the same thing with the contributions. Let's get into all the contributions. Whether it's employee, the employer, all those contributions are due for the tax filing timeframe, including extensions. So it kind of gets easy to remember. Most of these things are due when your taxes are due, including extension. The only thing you need to know as an S-corp owner is it's pegged to the business, not you personally, which is easy enough to remember because, again, as an S-corp, almost everything gets tied to your business tax return instead of your personal. So after you've had an S-corp for a minute, you'll start to realize like you're no longer stressing the April, you're in March. You're not stressing October, you're stressing September. Obviously, you have the personal deadlines and stuff too, but most of the complexity, assuming you have the S-corp as like your main hub for income and things like that, that's really the main thing that is going to kick out most of the information that needs to go on your personal. And obviously, for most people, the person who does their business tax return is doing their personal. And so the majority of the questions are getting ironed out then. So as a quick recap, the employee side must have the paperwork before December 31st. Then the employee side, January 31st, you have to tell your payroll provider how much you're putting in. Now you have the employee side and the employer side, you have until your tax filing deadline to put all the money in. So now let's talk about how much you can put in. For 2022, again, most people listening, unless you have the paperwork, you might have already missed the boat here, but let's still go through it. 2022, you could put in a total of 61K, and that's broken down into you could have done 20,500 on the employee side, which again, most people are familiar with like a regular 401k. You put in your money from your paycheck and then they match it. That's the employee side. And then 40,500 would have been the remaining. Now, as a caveat to this, you need to have the payroll to do it, personal payroll. So that get back to what we talked about before with the SEP IRAs. Now, you need to have a salary of at least 61,000 to put in the 61,000. So but it is up to 100%. So that's what's nice about it. Now here in 2023, we got a big boost from inflation. So inflation's few perks. Now in 2023, we can put in 66,000, and that's broken into 22,500 on the employee side and 43,500 on the employer side. Now, I said there's a third bucket, and this will
I hope this doesn't confuse anybody, but
the third bucket is how we do the mega backdoor Roth. And the name of it confuses people because it's an after-tax contribution from the employee. And so it more sits on the employer's side. There's no tax deduction for it. Again, these are all Roth dollars, but that's included in that 43.5. And again, all of those combined, the employee contribution, the employer contribution, and the after-tax mega backdoor Roth, all those combined is your contribution maximum of up to $66,000. So again, you still need to have the salary to do it. You can't pay yourself $50,000 and put in $66,000. Doesn't work. All right. Now let's take one step back in terms of the questions that I get asked, because we already talked about the SEP IRAs. Two things that are like frequently asked questions. Can you, so let's say you pay yourself, hypothetically, you pay yourself $66,000. It's technically a little bit more, and I don't want to confuse people, but have your tax advisor run this calculation for you. But because there's a little bit of a, you have to add back in your self-employment taxes. Basically, the IRS is saying like, you lost a little bit to self-employment taxes, how'd you put the money in? But let's just keep it hypothetical that you paid yourself $66,000, you're putting in $66,000. Can I still use an individual retirement account, a traditional IRA or a Roth IRA, which in 2023 is another $6,500? And the answer is yes, because the tests are different. So in that scenario, you can put in $72,500 while only paying yourself $66,000. Again, there's a little bit of math there, but those two calculations are completely separate. The IRS isn't stacking them on top of each other. So it's perfect if you are interested in doing both. Now, the second thing I want to bring up is solo 401ks are pushed as amazing, also by me. So I'm part of the problem here, but the reason I bring this up is because you need to ask yourself how much you're looking to put in. Because if you want to get into the saving and investing game, which that's awesome, you should. I highly encourage it. Even if you can just do just a little bit. Now, if you're just trying to get in the habit, like all I can do is $100 a month, just get in the habit of doing it. Again, I totally agree with that. Like if you ever read Profit First, they talk about that. They're like, even if you're saving, even if you have all this credit card debt, you should still be trying to put like $10 a month into a savings account or something, because it's the habit. And so everyone knows, like, there's no shortage of people talking about like the accountability, the habits, all that stuff on social media. When it comes to saving and investing, it's the same thing. You want to get in the habit of doing something small. So if you're sitting there running your business, maybe the profitability isn't what you want. Maybe you're heavily investing in your team, whatever it is. If you're saying, well, I want to put at least $100 a month away. Cool. I don't want to see you start doing a solo 401k or a SEP IRA or any of those until you've maxed out your Roth IRA or your traditional IRA, because those are completely free. They're so easy to do. They don't sit in the business. They're personal. Like the I in IRA stands for individual retirement account. They're not business related. So if you go out in most places, if you go out in, like when we talked about the adoption agreement and all those loan provisions and all that, those cool bells and whistles, they're awesome. But I don't know of anyone who's going to charge you less than $500 to build it. So, and then that's not even including that usually you're going to need a little bit of hand holding from someone like myself or some other expert that's helping you. So you're going to drive a little cost. Again, if someone's like, yeah, I'm going to put in 20 grand, 30 grand, 66 grand, then that is well worth it. You're going to get so much value. But if your goal was to put in $1,200 or 3 grand or whatever, now you're out 500 from the person who's building the paperwork for you. That sucks. Like, first tackle maxing out the plans that are completely free and at your disposal. Once you know you're going to do more than that, then graduate up to the 401k world or the SEP IRA world. Again, I typically am telling people to look more at the solo 401ks, and I'll have those conversations with anybody who's interested in having a tax advisor. Like those are the conversations that we're going to have, but more often than not, the winner is the solo 401k.
But I wanted to bring that up. And even taking it a step further, like I always talk about HSAs and it gets the lowest engagement of everything I do. So I'm trying to like, I love them and I think everyone should consider it. But I'm also like, man, it's a bummer for my engagement. So I shouldn't probably talk about it too much because the people don't care. But the HSA is another one that's, again, it's simple. It's free. It's available to you just by going out there tomorrow and getting the plan and then starting the funding. And so that's another one. It's like $38,500, I believe, for 2023, something like that. But that's another one. It's that you might want to consider maxing out before you hop over to the solo 401k world. Again, I don't like seeing clients of mine come in and they're paying almost the same in fees as they are contributions. I'm like, that sucks. Like, especially if you're not over that threshold of how much you're putting in. So I just want to bring that up at the very end as like a caveat, because unfortunately, I think people get excited about these. Like, I'm doing it right. I'm a business owner. I got my 401k. And you're not even maxing out what would have been the IRAs. And so don't throw your money down the drain like that. So hopefully this episode has been helpful. I considered doing this earlier so that people could maybe cram in to do something before, but I thought it might have been more appropriate to be like, okay, you just missed the deadline. Let's use that urgency to get 2023 done. And as a side note, all these companies that do this, you have to understand that the end of the year is their busy season. One of the firms I work with, I don't even know if you can get in 2 weeks before because they like everyone delays on it. And then you really risk missing the deadline, even if you quote unquote proactively took care of it before the deadline, just because all those providers are slammed. Same thing, like I love Gusto, but like you get to like the last 3 weeks of January, it is so hard to get a call or an email back. Like you want to call them up and ask them a question, your hold time like 10x because that's their busy season. So if you want to make life simpler on yourself, or if you're paying someone by the hour to help you, don't wait, because you will cost yourself way more time by having them sit on the phone with Gusto for an hour instead of 5 minutes, by having them sit on the phone or go back and forth with like some of these companies. So hopefully that's helpful. Again, guys, have a great week. As always, if there's anything here that you want more clarity on, in the show notes, there's always a link to my calendar. We can do a discovery consultation. But happy to help. Have a great day. Thank you for joining us this week on Build Your Wealth Muscle. The links mentioned in this episode are available in the show notes. For video clips and more information on tax and retirement strategies for fitness entrepreneurs, please follow my Instagram @ThePatDarby. If you found value in this episode, please do us a favor and share with a friend. If you tag me, that'd be appreciated also. Lastly, for help implementing any of the topics discussed, please book a call. The link is also in the show notes. Thank you again for listening and have a great day.